Welcome once again to New State Talk with Key West Lou. I am Louis Patron, your host. We're coming into this tonight 3 minutes late. I apologize. Either I'm becoming with the computer or I had a technical difficulty. In any event, I am here. We had a wonderful week this week. All kinds of things happening, mostly stupid in the world from my perspective. Instead of talking about Washington, Obamacare, the website, et cetera, first, I'm going to talk about poverty a little bit. Poverty, because it's something that is not being paid proper attention in today's society, especially in Washington, D.C. They don't hear, do not understand. Starting off here, I read an article recently by a Michael Sawyer on poverty and how poverty is exploding in this country. Excellent article. And I want to share some of the comments in that article with you. And what I'm referring to, and this article refers to, is the 99%, those that are in poverty as opposed to the 1% that have all the money. There are certain facts that were set forth to establish that poverty is on the rise. For example, more Americans are on welfare than have full-time jobs. What do you think of that? More people on welfare than have full-time jobs. How about this? 1.2 million public school students are homeless. 1.2 million public school students are sleeping under the bridge, in the woods, or in abandoned cars. They talk about an economic recovery in this country. We are on our way. We are into the economic recovery. We have come back from 2008. For who? Not for the 99%. Only for the rich, okay? Because statistically, almost half of our population, 150 million Americans, are of poor or low income. And there's an anger building in this country with those who have not, because it's always been a war. Everywhere in the world, for all time, the haves against the have-nots. And the have-nots in this country, increasing in number, are becoming increasingly desperate. And when people get pissed off, you don't know what could happen, and something could happen here once that anger boils over. And it could boil over next year, the year after, it may never boil over, though I think we're on our way to a boiling over point. Let me share some of other items with you. Half of public school students, come from low-income homes. And it used to be a time when most kids in school came from middle-income families. No more from low-income homes. The gap between the rich and the poor is at an all-time high. The poor know it. The rich don't. They're not paying attention. Let's talk about median income. In the last five years, median income has fallen every year. In the last 5 years, median income has fallen every 5 years. The quality of jobs is fewer. One out of four Americans is working for $10 an hour or less. Amazing, isn't it? One out of four Americans working for $10 or less. One out of every five households, this is shocking, one out of every five households is on food stamps, one out of five, whereas in the 1970s, it was one out of 50. We are the wealthiest nation in the world. We're purported to be the wealthiest nation in the world. I don't know anymore. One out of four children are enrolled in the food stamp program. One out of every four children in this country is enrolled in the food stamp program. This is another wild statistic. The number of Americans on food stamps exceeds the combined population of 25 small states. I'm not going to read them through with you, but the number of Americans on food stamps, and I think it's 47.5 million people, exceeds the population of the 25 smallest states in the union. Food stamps. You know what food stamps amount to? I never bothered looking into it. I've been fortunate. I haven't been on food stamps. Most of you may not have been on food stamps. Some of you may. It's a lousy $4 a day. If you're on food stamps, it's better than nothing. $4 a day can buy you something. It's only $4 a day per person. It is projected by economists at this time that 50% of all children in the United States will be on food stamps before they're 18 years old. 50% of all children in the United States will be on food stamps before they're 18 years old. Now, these are only some of the examples set forth in the article I read, but it instigated some thoughts in my mind. They're few, but I wish to share them with you. Number one, when Obama was running for president the first time, he indicated or he stated or it was clear there was going to be a redistribution of wealth in this country. And the Republicans were shouting and screaming that the redistribution was going to be from the poor to the rich. The rich would lose money. I'm disappointed in our president if that was to be the case, because it hasn't worked that way. There has been a redistribution of wealth in the last 5 years, but it's gone to the rich. More income, more money has gone from the poor to the rich. What? Not a good redistribution. Governor John Kasich of Ohio, he was in Congress for a while. I was impressed with him. Then he became governor of Ohio, and he got to talking the Republican right, ultra-conservative, and I became unenchanted with him. Well, he got his ass kicked a few times on some legislative matters in Ohio, and in the last year has turned his direction to trying to help the less fortunate. He made a speech somewhere today. I saw it on the Internet about an hour ago. He made a speech today where he said, "We are in a war on the poor." We are in a war on the poor. This conservative right-wing Republican can see it and acknowledges we are in a war on the poor in this country. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why it has to be clear to him. Cleveland, Ohio, one of the 10 largest cities in the United States. Do you know that more than 50% of the children living in Ohio are in poverty, not necessarily on welfare, are in the poverty level. Okay, let's go to General Motors now, somebody who's making money. I'm not going to talk about the poor. I'm going to talk about the rich and how they're bilking us a little bit. They're making us the 99%. General Motors. General Motors was broke. You remember we had to bail them out to the tune of $50 billion. The government of the United States gave them $50 billion. That came from taxpayer money, by the way. And what the government did was take back $2.1 billion in preferred stock. This gave the United States, you and me, the taxpayers, 60.8% equity stake in the company. We owned it. Now in, 4 or 5 years, General Motors has come back. They're very successful. They're making a profit. The government, the United States, has started selling the stock, and they sold almost all of it. And it is projected now that when the balance of the stock to be sold, they only got 7.3% equity stock left, the United States will take a beating of $9.7 billion. In other words, we loaned them 50. We're going to get back 41.5 or $40.5 billion. We're going to lose $9.7 billion on the deal. Why? I don't understand. And I'm going to tell you why I don't understand. Number one, we made a shitty deal. Excuse that word. I take it back. We made a lousy deal. If we're losing money on this thing when the company's profitable and they want to pay us back, I assume, but we're going to lose money. We didn't even get normal interest on this thing. It's not right. Now, here's what I don't understand. It was announced last June, and I reported this. I wrote a whole column on this for the local newspaper I write for. I spoke about this on my television show, and I had comments on it in my blog. Last June, General Motors announced that they were investing $691 million in Mexico, in their Mexican operations. In fact, included in that $691 million, they were going to build a new factory in Mexico. Now, I'll concede General Motors has been there for 78 years. They're the second biggest auto manufacturer in Mexico. Why aren't they here in the United States doing this? Why didn't they invest the $691 million here? We bailed their asses out, and they invest the money in Mexico, not here. And one of our major problems economically is that manufacturing jobs have gone out of this country. And here's another example of it after we are aware of the problem. Now, let me tell you what makes it worse with General Motors and what irritates the hell out of me. Last year, General Motors paid no taxes in the United States. You hear this quite often now. Major corporations don't have to pay taxes. They operate at a loss. You know who's paying taxes in this country? The poor people and the former middle class, all right? We survive on that money. Anyhow, although General Motors didn't spend any money tax-wise paying any federal taxes, they paid $268 million in taxes to other countries worldwide. We got zipped. Some other countries who gave nothing got $268 million in taxes. Now, the other thing is, when they were in bankruptcy, General Motors, and we loaned them the money, the government, I sometimes wonder who these geniuses are on top who run our money. And I blame Obama for this. He brought in all banking people to guide him when he came into office. And bank people think like bankers, and they take care of each other and major corporations. Because part of the deal in giving them the $50 billion, the TARP money, was that they got some sort of a tax benefit when they started making money. And I'm telling you that because of that portion or that part of the agreement, General Motors will not be paying taxes, federal taxes, for years. All right. Let me move on to something you may find a little lighter, but nevertheless interesting. I'm going to talk about golf. I'm going to talk about Tiger Woods, the Golf Channel. If you're a golfer, you got to watch the Golf Channel. One of the speakers or persons who participates on behalf of the Golf Channel is Brandel Chamblee. Brandel Chamblee. Now, be aware, if you're not, but Tiger Woods this year won five tournaments. He didn't win any majors, but he won five tournaments. That's a big deal to win five tournaments in a year, okay? Now, this Brandel Chamblee gives Tiger Woods a net for his work this past year on the golf course, because he says four times Tiger Woods was penalized for cheating. Okay? Now, it's true that four times this past year, Tiger Woods got penalized under golf rules for certain things that happened that shouldn't have happened. It wasn't anything that he did, you know, behind a closed door or in the dark of the woods or behind branches. These were open things that happened in four instances. In most of them, he spoke with his opponent or the fellow playing with him and said, "Do you agree this is this?" And the fellow said yes. But in the final analysis, the fellows in the back room who watch in golf, golf is a game where you don't break even the smallest rules. These were unintentional violations. He happened to have four. And he lost two strokes generally in the tournament for that round. Well, he gets an F because he did this four times, like he did it intentionally again. Millions of people watch Tiger Woods play golf on television, and he's going to cheat in front of millions of people. What bothers me is not that, because I think it's a stupid point that Brandel Chamblee is making, or the point he's talking about. What galls me is that he said This is inherent in Tiger Woods, because when Tiger Woods was in the fourth grade, he got 100 on a math test, and his teacher crossed it out and gave him a zero, an F, because he cheated. Well, I think it's stupid to go back that far, and let he was without sin to cast the first stone. I think most kids at one point in their academic career cheat a little bit. I don't know how. And that's a stupid example to use from a Golf Channel analyst by the name of Brandel Shamley. This guy should be thrown out of television. I'm going to stick with numbers for a few minutes, because I repeated some of these numbers recently on my television show. I've spoken of them in my blog. I may have commented in one of my columns. I don't think I used them on this show, but if I did, I apologize. But they're important to use, and I may stay with them for a few weeks, because sometimes numbers are like a picture. They tell you the whole story. Do you know, with regard to school shootings, there is one every 11 days in the United States. One shooting every 11 days in the United States. We are never going to learn, my friends. Let's talk about congressional pensions and Social Security. Congressional pensions. Our congressmen, when they retire, and by the way, right now there are 527 retired congresspersons receiving the pensions I'm going to talk about, 527. They retire, depending on years of service, et cetera, between $40,000 and $71,000 a year. So the average retirement pension for a congressman, I would say, is, let's say, $55,000. We have to compare this to Social Security, because the average Social Security check in the United States is $1,160 per month. $1,160 per month. That's $14,000 a year. So the congressman, they're eating big at $55,000. And the people who busted their asses, you know, digging ditches, working in factories, are getting a lousy $14,000 a year. Does not seem fair. Now, we assume that our congresspeople, especially those in the House of Representatives that have a distinguished record for this year, the ones in the House of Representatives, they control the money, don't forget. I don't know how hard they're working. They're supposed to be legislators. Legislators mean you legislate. You pass laws. You start passing laws by passing a bill, and it starts in the House of Representatives. Do you know how many bills the House of Representatives passed this year through September 20th? 36. 36. Last year it was 200 and something. Every year it's 200 or something or more. This year, 36 bills they passed, and most of them were to defeat Obamacare. What are they doing? They're doing nothing but chasing Obama, doing everything they can to tear him down, when they're not doing their job. Maybe Obama shouldn't be president, but he is. And until the next election, that's the way it is. People voted twice for him. Accept it. And do your job. Pass laws, pass bills. Because when the number shows that you've only passed 36 bills this year, you're sitting on your ass. Now, I want to talk about waste in government. I'm going to use this example, and I may use this example for months. I've used it on everything I do, the blog, the television show, the column, and more than once. I'm using it on this show more than once the second time. We're talking about waste. While our Congress wants to cut Social Security and Medicare, wants to take milk from babies, take hospitalization from the sick, and cut food stamps $40 billion so the poor don't eat as much. This is what our United States senators have as a perk, I guess, that we pay for as taxpayers in Washington. There is a Senate barbershop, a private barbershop only for senators. Now, if this thing was self-sufficient or running on its own economically, it wouldn't be a problem. The problem is your tax dollars and mine pay to maintain the Senate barbershop. By the way, every year seems to run $500,000 in debt. And whose money makes up that debt? The taxpayers' money again. Something's wrong when something like this is permitted to go on. This has been going on since the early 1800s, so the debt wasn't as big back then. Now I'm going to give you two examples of further governmental waste that I haven't talked about before. One has to do with prisoners, the other with farm subsidies. There are thousands of prisoners in jail for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. They're getting SSI checks. That's out of the Social Security Trust Fund. This is for the disabled who can't work. Well, they aren't working. They're in jail, these people, okay? And they are grabbing $20 million a year. Isn't that amazing? No, I'm sorry. I misspoke. Last year, the SSI sent $160,000 to people in jail, all right? SSI checks, $160,000, and the official address, and this is how you learn these things, for the people who received this money was at some jail. Now we're going to move on. I'll pick up the $20 million in a second. We're going to move on to farm subsidies. Have you noticed in the last couple of weeks, everybody wants to get the farm subsidies passed in Congress? We've got the farm subsidy. Well, the hell with it. And I've talked about this before, but not as direct as I am now, right now. We spend, our government, $200 billion a year. It's a lot of money in subsidies to help farmers get along who don't make enough money some years, or to pay them not to plant a certain food because it'll affect the prices of corn, for example, worldwide. Stupid program, but we haven't. We've had it for years, and we're stuck with things we've had for years. Unless maybe somebody like me talks about these things. What's happening now is that in the last 10 years, okay, $1.6 billion in subsidy checks, listen to what I'm going to say, have not been mailed to somebody on the farm. They have been mailed to people with urban zip codes. $1.6 billion over the last 10 years to people with urban zip codes. What am I saying? New York City got $7 million. People living in New York City were mailed checks for farm subsidies to help them out to the tune of $7 million. I have not seen a farm in New York City. How about Washington, D.C.? Definitely no farms. $10 million. Los Angeles, $10.7 million. Minneapolis, look at all the farmers living in Minneapolis, $48 million. Miami, we got a lot of farms in Miami. $54.5 million. And Phoenix, Arizona, we got to probably thank John McClain for this, $75.1 million. Absolutely ridiculous and a disgrace should not be. Okay, I'm going to move over to Saudi Arabia for a minute. Because Saudi Arabia and the United States are now having problems. And the reason is Saudi Arabia, the head of OPEC, controlled the price of gasoline. The big power in the Middle East is a declining power this past year. And Prince Bandar Sultan Al Saud, their chief of intelligence that I even wrote a blog, I wrote a whole story for the newspaper on him, sharp character, he this week told some European diplomats that he was losing trust in Obama's judgment. He said, one, because Obama did not go into Syria and bomb them, and number two, he's becoming friendly with Iran. And the reason this upsets him is because Saudi Arabia wants to take over the oil fields in Syria and Iran because they are losing their oil. They pump too much of it or most of it out of the ground. They got about another 20 years. They need the Syrian and Iranian oil fields. And the other thing is we were dependent on Saudi Arabia for most of our oil, you remember? And they kept the price of oil up there, over $4 an hour. Well, this doesn't happen anymore. And in 5 years, we won't even buy any oil from them because as of this year, the United States is the biggest exporter of oil in the world. Thank you to fracking, though Some people don't like it. Well, that's the story for this week. I was going to talk about Social Security theft, as I have before. People should be aware of that all the time, but there's no time. I thank you for joining me. I look forward to speaking with you next week. Tell your friends to listen in, too. I enjoyed doing the show. I'm sure you enjoyed listening to it. Have a good evening, my friends.